Hey, Danger Dan Jurz here with a quick announcement. Our next interstitial bonus content will be Daniel's Power Rangers mini campaign, and it will be the final one before the start of Season 2 officially begins. It's a soft Season 1 epilogue slash side story that will be releasing exclusively on Patreon, with its first episode dropping Wednesday, May 27th. Stick around after the episode to hear a sneak preview. More details about Season 2 will be coming soon, so keep an ear out and enjoy the episode.
D&D Dark Souls is a dark fantasy adventure intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the
hello and welcome to D&D Dark Souls, a dark fantasy actual play podcast inspired by mechanics from the Dark Souls tabletop role-playing game system and starring some of Fantasia's most fractured fairy tales. I am your host and scribe of the Great Flame, Ben Magnet.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz. I'm playing Pinocchio, the real boy, our cleric, and last session we went dancing and it went great for everyone.
Did it? You sure about that?
Everyone. I mean, I came out of it with like a bonus point into like one of my stats, and I got to chuck the nastiest lightning spear. That shit was cool. Oh, and I guess we saved another princess, and yeah.
Did we? Are you sure about that?
With heavy air quotes, a lot of asterisks, a lot of, like, you know, citation needed.
I was going to say saved is a choice word. Hello, I'm Danger Dan Jurz, and I am playing the Popper.
Oh!
Our jack of all trades of deprived origin.
Makes sense!
Last time, I learned that the universe is indifferent towards me, which, boy, feels loaded in addition to the other revelations going on. So we dealt with my princess, Princess Aurora. I got more names heaped upon my name. So I am now Prince Philip Edward Fantasia I, in theory.
Hell yeah.
If I can officially get coronated, then it's real. But until then, I am just a pauper playing at Prince. And I had to murder the one person of royal renown who was ever kind and helpful to me. So not in a good headspace right now, but ready to take it out on a dragon.
Hell yeah. Woo!
Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron, and I'm playing the Huntsman, our thief of fencer origin. And last time, we pulled a great tactical maneuver to defeat Aurora. What we did was we threw bodies at the boss until its bloodlust was sated. And that way, we were able to win. We saw touching moments with Philip Edward Fantasia, the first to be, and Aurora. We got to see his clever plan to circumvent the curse by putting a ring of sacrifice on her. Unfortunately, she was still sacrificed. We're now brothers in killing our exes.
Yay.
High five. Bop.
Oh my gosh.
And therapy's expensive, but dragons are free.
Oh, hell yeah.
There we go.
Oh.
You know what? I like that. I like that a lot.
Get out on a t-shirt.
Hi, I'm Grayson, playing Mordred. Last session, promptly ran into the monastery and got whomped. Died two times, rolled on the hollowing table, got a 10 and a 17. Mordred has lost key memories due to one of those. One of those memories being the counseling he received from Lancelot to kind of figure out how to let that anger and hatred go that he had towards Arthur. And we got to see a little bit of that in the tail end of the fight. But besides that, we are walking to the next one.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play the spider, our assassin. And last time...
Oh, extra sad.
She's extra sad for many reasons. Last time, she was the only one that survived the onslaught of the Borealis Dancer. I was having flashbacks to Muppet Alien of like, why is it always me left over? The curse is to always watch my friends die. That's so fun for me. Love that.
The tone was a little different.
It was a little definitely different.
Hey, this time we came back.
That's so true, and that's fantastic.
No one rolled the nat one on the howling table.
Mordred came back a little broken, but...
It's okay.
Mordred's a little scarier now, but Pinocchio's looking bright and shiny.
Yeah, he came back better.
He got some new furnishing wax and all that good stuff.
Oh my god, we never summoned Mick.
That's because we don't have the stone anymore.
Oh, we handed Mick
away.
Oh,
that's right, that's right, that's right. I was like, I can't fucking believe we needed bodies and we literally didn't use the free
that's
body.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, at the end of the session, I was like, oh, we could have just had him do the dead or get killed.
We could have had him do the dead.
Oh, god damn it.
That's the true tragedy. But yes, so on top of that horrifying the Brannigan method, Spider's really feeling beat down by the repeated method of our supposed salvation, of we keep having to murk these innocent ladies to feed the great flame, and she's like, man, this sucks. So that's where she's at.
And with that, let us delve back into the darkness. So we open at the aftermath of your battle with the dancer. Aurora is gone and the bonfire is lit and ready for you to go back to the Shrine of the Great Flame. The two doors on the side of the altar are now descended, revealing a staircase leading up. So what do you all wish to do?
The huntsman's going to drag his sorry ass to the fire and just sort of like slump into it, and he disappears into the hub worlds.
The prince has been just kind of staring at the flame and then sees the huntsman just unilaterally decide to warp out of there and then will be kind of shaken from the stupor and kind of look around to see, is this our plan?
Mordred's gonna make some form of eye contact with the prince and the spider real quick, motioning that he wants to share something real quick.
Is this like a private moment thing or?
No, by all means, like whoever just hasn't disappeared.
It sounded a little A and B, he could see himself out sort of situation.
I do have one request of all of you. Please continue to refer to me as the knight. I understand Mordred carries a certain weight about it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Understood?
Well, in the second chance that we've been given, we are who we choose to be. So long as you continue to refer to me as the prince, then the knight you shall be.
Thank you, my prince. Pinocchio, do I have your trust?
As always, Sir Knight.
Thank you.
Do you prefer to be called Pinocchio, or do you like the real boy better?
I was going to say, honestly, at this point, it's not that important to me either way. Just don't call me Block of Wood.
Oh,
Not that anybody has. Just like, I feel like they're moving forward, and like, now that we know that I was at one point a Block of Wood, and I feel like that'd just be kind of going backwards, sort of, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to before, but now that you've put the idea in my head...
you know what? Let's go with Pinocchio.
Okay.
And I'll say the knight walks through the flame as well.
All right, you guys go through the fire and flames?
Yep.
I think so.
The prince will hang back just ever so slightly and give one more heavy passing glance at where Aurora's body disappeared from, before then dragging himself through the flame.
And as you all return back into the Shrine of the Great Flame, like with every other princess that you have freed thus far, you see a ashen statue of Princess Aurora. Same facial expression as the other two princesses, but Prince, you notice one tiny little difference, that there is one singular tear going down her eye. The godmother is looking up at all three and just has this beaming glare. You all notice that the candles seem to burn ever so brighter, and you look over at Cid, and he is just sipping on a cup, just looking up, and you actually notice that there's a strange greenish yellowish liquid with frozen water in it.
Mountain Dew.
She's drinking a margarita.
Oh! God damn it. He gave me Mountain Dew vibes. What can I say?
So you look up, and the godmother looks at you all, and she smiles and just rushes over and goes,
Darius, Darius, look at them. You're almost there, and it's almost over. Oh, blessed you all. You've done it. You freed them all. The flame. Did you tend to the flame? Did you see it?
Take the souls, power us up, let's get this over with.
Hey, I'm with Phil.
My dearie. What happened? Are the vile ones not vanquished?
It isn't over yet, so let's not celebrate prematurely.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh, dear, I feared. Oh, I didn't know for certain, but I had a feeling that she would have done something like this. She's got to be somewhere on that mountain. If you go to the top of the monastery, if you climb, you'll get to the Temple of the Flame. Surely the last one's there. If you go to her, end it all, you could save it. Save the flame and save us all. Here, let me see what I could do to give you ever more power.
Pinocchio raises his hand and says, we may not have defeated the vile ones, but if it's any consolation, we defeated the appendix fairy, which was terrifying.
Sid looks up and goes, you did what?
Appendix fairy. We slayed it.
You slayed the vermiform fae, consumer of organs, not of use?
You know, you could give it as many funny, really cool sounding names as you want. It's still just the appendix fairy.
The appendix fairy is used for children. It actually has a magical scientific name.
Yes, and we killed it. It's dead.
I'm just throwing out there. The prince's situationship was harder than the fairy. I'm just throwing that out there. Not that difficult, all things considered.
Very true, very true.
Anyways, you, real boy, Pinocchio, block of wood, whatever your name is,
hey,
come here.
Hey.
Former block of wood.
That's kind of his word. I don't know if you can.
He approaches Sid.
I have a spell that's on the table, but I wanted to give you this personally. You might need it. And Sid hands you a scroll, Pinocchio. And as you read it, you realize it is the scroll for the spell Escape Death.
Oh.
Well, we know who the favorite is.
We won't need that, right? I'm sure.
No.
The effect is this spell prevents you from losing any souls when you die or when a creature you touch dies. In addition, with the first time the affected creature is reduced to zero position, roll a d20 on an 11+. The creature is instead reduced to one position.
The thing is that at level 9, I actually just gained the first time I would be knocked down to zero HP. I just get knocked down to one.
Great, so use it on us.
I was going to say, I know, I can cast it on you guys. I know.
Yay!
So Sid leans down and goes, that one is on the house. Who you're going to be facing next, she is the most dangerous one out of all of them. I wish you luck, and please take care.
He looks the scroll over, gives a nod, and he'll like study and attune to it. But he says, thank you. This will be put to good use in the coming days. Or hours. Or how long has this adventure been?
I think it's been about 30 minutes.
Time is meaningless.
Anyway, yes, this will be put to good use.
Good. That one over there would really, really be upset if something were to happen to you.
As he points over to the craftsman who's just clanging away, he looks up and he waves. He nods again. And, he goes off to go attune to his shiny new scroll.
And as you're going to attune to your spells, you all notice that Miss Muffet, she also has a rug out with a lot of rings. Like, a lot of rings are displayed. Some are in boxes, some are just out. And she looks over and she sees the spider and she actually immediately walks over to her and goes, excuse me, miss.
Hi, I don't know if these will help you, but so I went back over to the palace and the surroundings. So the whole building didn't burn down, but after the flames were, you know, they were spent and gone, I kind of, well, gosh, I hope this doesn't make you think any less of me after saving my life. But A long time ago, there was this one guy who came around, rummaging around, talked about going into the stepmother's boudoir for some weird reason, trying to grab shinies. He was a very distasteful man. I honestly, I haven't seen him since. I don't know what's up, but that's not the point. The point is, I have these, and if you're interested in them, I would love to sell them to you. I don't know if they'll help, but they might.
Oh, well, if you're selling, I would be honored to peruse your wares. And I think the spider is going to walk over to Miss Muffet's little shop on a rug, kind of hunch down and stare across the various different rings and things. And she was never much of a jewelry person, but she sees one ring stick out from the others that looks a little ridiculous. It kind of looks like a plastic cartoon Halloween eyeball. And she's like, can I have this one?
Yes, yes, of course.
Ooh. And we'll pay the 900 souls for the Pontifex's eye, and we'll slip it on her finger and press a little button and it starts blinking. She's like, ooh, yes, this one's good.
And as Miss Muffet takes the souls back, she actually hands them back to you and goes, I'll let you have that one for free. I wanted to thank you properly for saving me from her. I saw what you did, and I am just so grateful that I don't have to deal with her ever again. Now I could go and find my real mother. I don't have much to go on, unfortunately, but I think she's out there. From what Cinderella told me the few times I was able to sneak in, she told me that she was a brave woman. But sadly, she was scorned. She did work that no one wanted to do, but she knew she had to do it to protect someone, to protect me. So I really hope to find her someday.
The spider is like staring so closely, putting all her focus and looking at this ring as to try not to give anything away, and says, yes, you know, when all of this is said and done, when the world returns to light, I think you will find your mother.
I hope so. Also, I hope to find another person. She looks a little like you, but sadly, this woman came up to me one day, and well, I knew that she was this legend that people would call the spider. Deft with blade, left bodies in her wake, but I wish to apologize to her, because the way I reacted when she first revealed herself to me, I was truly afraid. I believed the stories, the legends, but as time went on and as I would hear Tremaine yell about certain people dying left and right, I realized that if that was the spider's doing, then the spider wasn't doing it out of bloodlust, but she was doing it to help us.
Well, no one can blame you. First impressions and all, and you know, she sounds like she was very scary. So what else could you have done? It's fine. I'm sure somewhere she understands.
Do you understand?
If that was me and that, I would so, thank you for the ring. And she's gonna rush off.
And Muffet stops you and embraces you right where you stand. And through very quiet little sobs, she whispers,
she told me everything. She told me what you did, what you were doing. Mother, I'm so glad I got to see you one last time. I can't let you go.
You knew this whole time.
I knew the second you stabbed Tremaine. Cinderella, she told me everything. She told me how afraid you were. She told me that you were so ashamed, but you don't have to be ashamed anymore. I just want you to know I'm so thankful for you.
And the spider is going to stroke her hair and say, I'm so happy you're in my life. I hope to come out the other side of this and be able to start a fresh life with you. But there's the risk that that might not happen. I hope you understand that's why I didn't tell you, is I didn't want you to have to lose me twice.
I understand.
you know now, and I am happy you know. But you are strong. You are strong, and you are independent. And look at you, your first shop. I'm so proud of you. And you're going to be able to do wonderful things in this world. I know it whether I'm there to see it or not. But just know that I was always there. Though I couldn't show you my support directly, I was always there.
And I'm so sorry I cast you away. I called you horrible names. I didn't know. I was just... what they would say about you and learning that it was all lies, that it was untrue, that you would...
Shh. It's fine. Everything's fine. We're here now. We can leave that all behind us. You just be who you are. My patience.
And she hugs you ever so strongly, and you both share a quiet little moment where the spider that scared Miss Muffet away finally has her one true treasure back.
The huntsman smashes through this tone like a fucking wrecking ball. He walks right up to the craftsman and he starts explaining that he needs a longer bow. And he explains the physics of how, because it's longer, you can get more tensile strength. The craftsman is looking at him with glazed eyes with a rack of bows that he has made behind him. He completely understands this. He's getting mansplained to so hard.
The craftsman looks at you and goes,
would you like it green?
Hell yeah, I would. And trust me, I'm good for it. Watch this. And the huntsman opens his mouth like unhinged wide, and his eyes and like mouth glow blue, and he presses his forehead against the craftsman, and souls pour out of him and like invade the craftsman's body as he puts 550 individual human essences unbidden into the mind and, you know, form of the craftsman. He's like, I think that'll cover it.
The craftsman is just like terrified, and he grabs a green longbow, gives it to you, goes, I miss gold.
Oh my god. Fucking love the total shift.
I felt it was a pleasure doing business with you.
You're a friend of my son. Of course I'll help you, but please don't ever do that again.
All right, guys, we can go whenever you're ready.
Pinocchio, can I talk to you for a second, please?
I don't know what that was either, Father.
No.
He doesn't speak for the rest of us. He's just a weirdo.
No, not about that. Not about that.
Okay.
I just keep mine in my pocket. Did he eat his? I don't know.
He's like over to the crabs. Walks back over to Japan.
Oh, I'm the villain for thinking about the logistics of paying with souls. Oh, the world building. Oh, how evil.
Anyways, can I help you, Father?
Geppetto shakes off what just happened, and he looks over and says,
Son, I realize that you still have one more battle to fight. I have some armor here. I don't know if any of it will help you or hinder you, but if you see something you like, just take it. But I want you to promise me something. Finish it. Whatever happens, I want you to know how proud of you I am. I am so proud to call you my son. What you've done for this kingdom already speaks volumes. You'll be spoken about in the histories and the stories to come, but just do your best to come back to me, please.
He throws his arms and just pulls Geppetto in just the tightest hug he can.
Oh, my boy.
I promise you, this will not be our last goodbye.
Good. And stay away from random treasure chests with pointy teeth.
I've been very trying my best to do that.
Good.
And Daniel, is there anything on the shops list that you saw that you wanted?
You'll have to give me a second. I broke my glasses earlier this week, and it's really hard to read my computer screen.
Well, while this is happening, as the prince is leveling up to level 10... he is just kind of dead-eyed, glaring at the others having their nice, wholesome reunions, and is going to look up at the statue of the tear-stricken Aurora
The godmother notices you, and she puts a hand on your shoulder and looks at you and says, I know what you're feeling, dearie, and I may have a solution, but it comes with a price. I can't tell you everything, but I do know that if you take the title of Lord of Embers, you will be with her again. But I need you to seriously consider the cost.
Well, I don't exactly have much more to lose. And I would rather the universe not be so indifferent towards me and my plight.
I just know that I'm on your side, dearie. And she lets you go.
And he is going to go first to Muffet.
Muffet gives you a little wave. It goes, hello, Prince. It's good to see you again.
He's going to hand over 700 souls for the Chlorinthy ring.
Oh, sure, just handing them over.
He is going to casually hand over a glowing orb of a value equating to 700 souls and is going to hear and see the huntsman's judgment and is going to look over and say, see, was that so difficult?
I didn't know you could do that.
I feel like you immediately went for the most extreme method, which, you know, actually, that's in character.
Honestly, I think it was kind of cool.
No.
We have like 32,000 no. more if you want them. No.
Regardless, I would like this ring.
And since you paid the price, it is yours.
All right, and my constitution goes up by one more.
Oh my god.
Hell yeah.
Also, Prince, I do want to thank you as well for all that you did during the battle with Tremaine and my quote-unquote stepsisters. And it's because of you I got to reunite with my mother. And I'm truly, truly grateful for that. And she hands you 400 souls back.
Well, I appreciate and will remember this. And anytime.
Patience just smiles. Thank you again.
The prince will give her a little smirk back and is going to approvingly say, I think you're going to turn out all right. Then the prince is going to march over to Cid and mechanically, I am purchasing the spell White Dragon Breath.
Okay.
But flavor-wise, what I would like to do is basically manifest Iron Flesh in my hand, and I'm going to ask Cid, is there a way that you can take this effect and boon that I've been given by the Crystal Lizard and find a way to weaponize it a bit more?
Cid kind of cracks a smile. Bring your hand up, and let's see what I can do.
As written, it's pretty close to what I wanted anyway. It basically describes it is a 30-foot line of crystals explode up from the ground, dealing 10d6 bludgeoning damage and paralyzing the target on a failed dex save. So since all of my powers have come from crystal thus far, I would like to just continue that trend with this spell.
And you do.
And that's it for me. Daniel, did you...
Pinocchio is looking over the armament, and his eyes land on one that he just kind of stares at for a moment and is just like, I feel the magical ability of this. It is quite useful. I would dare say it's a little bit fetching. And he puts his hands on the Black Witch robes and starts to kind of take it from his father. And then the real boy, Pinocchio, goes and finds the spider and says, Miss Spider, I've never put one of these on before. Could you help me a little bit? My father gave me pants for them, so that's nice at least.
Geppetto goes, I mean, if you really want the dress, you can have it too. I'm not judging.
Yes, I can help you put this on. And she's gonna like say, all right, arms up.
There's like a whole like, there's a bodice on this thing that she has to help him put on.
Yeah. She'll loosen the laces, arms up, slip it over. All right, now you're gonna suck in. Puts a foot to his back and...
Ooh.
Why is beauty such pain?
Oh, you're asking me.
Patience just goes, you don't want to know.
But you do, in fact, look fetching.
Blushes, puts his cheek in his hand.
Patience looks over and goes, I think he looked better in the dress.
Dragon first.
Then Pinocchio makeover.
Yeah.
Dragon first, whatever strange awakening is happening here later.
Can we start killing? Please.
I'm good to go now. I'm ready to go.
I'll try and make mine as quick as possible. So while the knight is chatting with the fairy godmother and he's getting his level up, he asks the question that's kind of been on his mind a little bit.
Have any of you done any research into who this benefactor might be?
There's not a lot about him, dearie. We didn't really know that there was a benefactor. Though when the war started, the vile ones took all the credit. You should have seen the Mother of Wickedness goad her army, just take over the palace. The Queen of Vanity was a little more subtle, as she was already in a place of power when her turn began, but the Mistress, on the other hand, well, she was always a bad egg, and there was no surprise when she revealed where her alliances are. But if they want us to know anything, it's most likely her.
My curiosity remains, was this something a little bit more subtle? Or something more upfront?
Well, when the war began, we all figured it was the Mistress of All Evil who brought the other two to her side. At least that's what the Mother of Wickedness proclaimed one day. But there's someone else behind the scenes. They could possibly be even more dangerous than the Mistress of All Evil. You best go prepared and be ready for anything.
Very well. For the time being, I think I might counsel with my comrades.
That's very wise, dearie.
And after his level up, he'll head over to Geppetto and explain that it sounds like we're going to be going up against an elemental being. So he's going to request the Fallen Knight Armor, which is resistance to fire damage, and then also Great Shield of Glory.
Geppetto looks and goes, a Great Shield?
Not a lot of people use those, but you seem to be a strapping young man. I assume that you could wield its weight.
And he brings forth the Great Shield and brings it down with a loud clang.
I believe the heft of this is just right.
It'll add a +3 to AC along with the 18 that I'll be getting. So it's a little bit more of a boost for static AC.
Alrighty.
Yeah, I think that'll be it.
You pay the craftsman. He gives half of what you owe him back as a thank you for essentially everything you guys have been doing.
Woohoo!
And is that everything for everyone?
Yee doggy.
I'm feeling fabulous. Let's get going.
Yeah!
As you all go back to the bonfire, Spider, you look over at Patience, who waves, and she is holding back tears. Pinocchio, you look at your father, who is just looking on you, ever proud of his son. Huntsman, you look up at the statue of Snow White one last time. And for a moment, you also see that there is a tear down her eye. And as you look up at her, you hear a voice go, whatever did you see in her?
Oh, fuck, you're still here. Oh, God.
Oh, of course I'm still here, love. I'm never going to leave your side again.
The wound is all healed up and stuff. Now it's just a scar, but Huntsman's like clawing at his chest like, ooh, maybe I could pull the heart out again.
And the prince, you look up at Aurora, still in that stoic smile, and you feel that her spirit, even though her soul has gone to tend to the flame, that you feel a renowned strength to go and finish this fight once and for all. And Knight, you look up, and as you pass through, you see the godmother just nod and hopes for your safe return as you all go into the flames and awaken back at the monastery. So, on this floor of the monastery, there is just the scars of the battle that happened before. The two staircases on either side are open for you to go up.
Okay, so who's going up which stairs?
I suggest you choose your favorites.
The prince is going to immediately start walking up the right staircase.
Nope, all right, I'm with him.
We'll follow.
You guys don't want to split the party?
You could go alone, Pinocchio.
I believe the last time we did this, we simply reconvened in the same area.
You know what? That's a great point.
I I was gonna say secretly you're all my favorite.
Oh.
Do you all go up the same staircase?
No, apparently the real boy went up the left one.
No, I go up the same staircase with
Boo,
them. I go
coward,
up the same
coward.
I go up the same staircase.
As you ascend the staircase, you see that the stairs reconvene once again in the middle, and they all lead to the same place.
Huzzah.
Oh, fucking called it.
Welcome to the Library of Stone. Before you stands a grand library that is ruined. There are some shelves that have fallen over. There are some books made of paper that are strewn about, but you also notice that some older tomes are made entirely out of stone. They are still able to be picked up, but they are a little hefty, and you fear that if you were to drop them, they would shatter. But you can tell that in these older tomes is some possible information. You are free to explore. I just need you all to roll perception checks.
So take one of your important lore things and burn it, Ben, because I did nat one that. So the huntsman just picks up one of the stone ones you said seemed fragile, drops it immediately, and it shatters on the floor.
Well, shit.
Books are bullshit anyway. Where are the pictures?
I love the jock that the huntsman's turned into.
All right, so who got what again?
I got an 11.
19.
I got 18.
Who got the highest roll?
I think that would be me with 19.
So with your 19, you're looking around and you find this giant book. You open it up and you see something called the Song from the First Kingdom.
Good king, slain by traitor's hand. Wanted not, but peace throughout the land. War is fought. Why doth we know? It is for king, and traitor told us so.
Grayson, you said you rolled an 18, correct?
Yes.
You also pick up a stone book. This one seems to be a little bit newer. You can tell that the contents came from an age not as ancient as the First Kingdom, but it could be from the Second Kingdom. And this is what you find.
It is strange. In our studies of this flame, it seems as if... But when King Elias passed it, gained vigor, burned brighter than before, many questions have arisen in our circles. Some have preposterous theories. Others can't explain it. But if those theories are true, then is this a life giver or destroyer?
Was there a title that went along with this?
There was no title, but you can tell that it was a wizard's notes.
I see what you did there with King Elias.
I don't know who that is.
It's Walt's middle name.
Oh, hey.
Gotcha. I was thinking in Dark Souls.
And who was the next to have the highest roll?
I also got an 18.
So for you, you find a paper book this time. The name is forever faded to time. You can't tell whose journal this was, but you see one entry in here that catches your eye.
I think I found a way. A way to permanently end it. End it all. A spell. A frightful spell from those fools after my home fell. But there needs to be others to help. There's a few I think I can persuade. It may take a while, but needs to be done.
And in that same book, you flip a few more pages, and in the last entry, you find this.
They are all fools. They know not what they try to save. Ending them should be a mercy. It will be a mercy. A new era is coming, and I will see it through.
Whoever wrote this was crazy! This guy sounds like he doesn't want to light the flame. What a nut job.
And who had the next highest roll after that?
I had an 11.
Well, Jordan, as you are exploring the library, you come across an area of the library that's more ruined, and you see two bodies completely mangled.
Oh.
By a crystallized-looking curse.
Oh no, I see who they are!
It is none other than Donathan and Gerald. Dead by a crystallized curse.
I think the spider lets out a yelp. Just like, ay!
Does anyone wish to hear that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to hear it, but I do.
But I will.
It's not that big of a room.
I need you all to roll a perception check.
What are the chances I get another one? Low, I got 13.
Samesies.
24.
11.
I got a natural 20.
Hey! Oh!
Way to fucking waste it, Grayson. God damn, we're about to fight a fucking dragon.
I'm sorry.
With the nat 20 and the 24, both the prince and the knight notice a broken stone book that has been shattered that lays at the feet between Donathan and Gerald amidst their mangled, crystallized, cursed bodies. And you could tell that while most of it is destroyed and illegible, there are parts of it you could piece together as a puzzle.
I am going to, before touching this, cast Strong Magic Shield on myself to insulate my hands from making direct contact.
The good news is that once you touch it, it doesn't do anything. But as you piece together the broken page, all you can see is the title, and this is a spell that you read.
Spell of Oblivion. Somebody look around for the spell of Oathkeeper.
Hey, Brain.
I was going to say, we need to get ready for like our card battles because we're going in.
But also with that 21, you see that there's a staircase past our bodies.
So real talk, guys, just real quick, looking at these crystal bodies. They were fighting this war immemorial until we showed up. And then we did everything they dreamed of doing in 5 minutes and they fucking died and did nothing. What the hell?
Do they still have the Mick soapstone on them?
The soapstone is shattered.
That's why.
Because they summoned Mick.
Mick. I knew as soon as he said he didn't believe in jazz, he was all trouble.
He must be the benefactor.
When did we spiral from has never heard of jazz into doesn't believe in jazz?
As you all rush up the stairs to a ruined temple, you see before you a throne and a grand flame, barely lit, barely burning. And at the foot of this throne, you see it start to glow a little red as if embers have caught, but the throne itself has not caught on fire.
There's Mick. There's Mick.
I knew it.
Get away from that throne, you jazzless bitch.
And yeah, you see Mick, whose back is turned to you, staring up at the flame. He hears you approach and just says, "Take a look at this pitiful flame. So many wars have been fought over it. So many people worshipped it. But they did not know. They never knew what it was or what feeds it. I assume you all don't know what this is. Although I have to admit I am a little surprised that you survived this long. Well, at least one of you I had a feeling was gonna last. Isn't that right, Mordred?"
Le gasp. "You say you're surprised I survived this entire time. We used your soapstone. You do not impress us."
"Do you honestly think I was going to put all of my essence into that little trinket?"
"We don't know how it works, dumbass."
Oh my god.
"You know, you had my respect for a while, Huntsman. The queen had such very nice things to say about you. Until, you know, you decided to go against her plans by plunging a knife into Snow White, killing her, and, well, you were the first thorn in my side. I know it doesn't really matter now. All she cared about were her looks and her status. She didn't see the grand picture. Not like I do."
"If you feel so confident in what you believe that you see, feel free to share, just like all the others."
By the gods, Mordred, is your memory that bad that you do not recognize me?
It's a recent development. Oh, he would have 5 minutes ago, but oops.
Would I be able to run a history check? Because I know the memory loss that I had was I had tried to specify that he forgot the counseling that he had received.
Yep. And also, he does look a little different. So, yes, roll me a history with advantage.
Can I hide while he's monologuing?
You could try.
I will try my best.
Here, I'll help you by distracting him as I walk in the opposite direction of where you're hiding. And I am going to say, just get to the point already. What is it with you just prattling on and on? My word, is this what I've been like this whole time? I'm so sorry to all of you if this is what it's been like being around me, but would you please just get to the point and shut up?
You're forgiven.
Philip, how about you do the same and shut your trap for once? You're not fooling anyone. You want to get to the point? Fine. The point is, one of you has been summoned back after being dead for nearly thousands of years, while I had to walk and witness kingdoms rise and fall ever since he put mine to the sword. Literally.
I think this one's you, Morty.
As he says that, I don't think I need the roll that I rolled.
What was your roll?
History, that's 14.
With a 14... his speech pattern has changed. There used to be a bit of an accent, but it's kind of eroded with time. And his facial features, while a little younger and a little bit different, they still look eerily like one you used to know. One who trusted you, and one who taught you everything you know.
And you say I put you to the sword. That clearly has to mean...
No. No, you didn't put me to the sword. You sure as hell gave Arthur a run for his money. Or his souls.
That's not what he said. He said the opposite.
Fuck, what did you say, Grayson?
No, he said that you put him to the sword by training and teaching him everything you know. Sorry, there's a bit of a chasm here. You're really far away, so some of this might not be traveling as well as it could.
If you look to the right, there's a telephone. If you just pick that up, we can actually talk a little easier.
Mick walks a little bit closer. So the chasm that you see is more like kind of like a bit of a dip. It's walkable. There's not like a chasm. You can walk across it, no problem.
Yeah.
That might be a good time to say that with the prince's help, I rolled a nat 20 on my stealth.
Oh, shit.
Now we're fucking talking.
You are hidden.
Hell yeah.
So you're the one that trained me. Lancelot.
There it is. God, it has been so long since I heard that. Do you know how many names I've used throughout these years? I've used names...
Sorry, can you speak up or step a little bit closer? You're walking farther away and getting harder to hear.
Not to mention you're probably turning your back while walking away, which doesn't help with the whole hearing you thing either.
Shut up!
Do you know how many names I've used over these years, Mordred? So many names. Riku, Handsome, Xehanort.
There is no fucking chance.
All different names. Frankly, I almost forgotten my name once. So good to hear it again.
If you truly are Lancelot, you have fallen so far from the honorable man that I knew.
Oh, poor little Mordred. Do you know why Arthur led those wars and put you in charge? Do you know why that a king so beloved as him constantly thirsted for war and for bloodlust?
While this is going on, I'm going to slip over the edge and start just casually walking towards the Great Flame and just ignore Mick, Lancelot, Ansem, Riku, Xemnas, Xehanort.
I only understood that towards the later end of his life, he began to falter. He understood that Guinevere had chosen you.
Funny enough, that's not even close to what he was doing. And you, stay put. You'll get your chance in a moment.
The reason, Mordred, as to why Arthur continuously waged those wars was because of that, as he points to the Great Flame.
And as he steps closer to the Great Flame, I step exactly the same distance closer to him.
That, what you all call the Great Flame, is a parasite. That thing that gives us so-called life, that gives light to our world, is nothing more than a symbiote feeding off our souls. Arthur wasn't waging war for constant conquering and bloodlust. He was feeding that. And you decided to play hero, kill him while he was trying to save us. Now, granted, we didn't know how the Great Flame worked. We didn't know what it was, but Arthur figured it out. But he didn't figure out what the flame needed. Those wizards in the Second Age found out that a soul, a pure soul, a powerful soul, were able to keep it satiated for a while. And then came the princesses, those who were raised and those who would eventually, when they pass on, feed the flame. It is a constant cycle of taking and death. But I found a way to fix it. I found a way where we could get rid of it for good, erase it all, and start anew. And I give you five, a choice. Join me. Help me extinguish the flame for good, and we can start anew. Right from scratch.
Before I make my decision on that, I need to ask one question. What was your ploy in engaging the evil that wrought this land? The ones who decided to take up arms and make everyone's lives misery? The reason why we were brought back. The reason why I had to be brought back.
That was an unexpected side effect of the princesses. They knew what they were doing. They thought the people of this land were worth saving. So they constructed their plan to trap the vile ones and stop their influence. I am so tired, Mordred. I have been trying for years to find a way to keep the flame satiated without having to sacrifice anyone. And if any one of you want to become the so-called Lord of Embers, then you would have to sit upon that throne and cast your own soul to the flame. That includes you, Philip. You want to be with Aurora so damn bad, you have to sacrifice yourself to do it.
Actually, about that.
No. You stop there. Because what I envision is a kingdom with no great flame. A kingdom where we don't have to sacrifice people, where we don't have to raise anyone up to it. We can just get rid of it all.
Before you get too carried away, there is actually some textual evidence we found in the library back there. I've actually brought it with me. I have a written note that I would like to hand to you that I think will explain everything about how wrong you are.
What the damn hell are you planning, Popper?
Above table, Ben. I don't want to interrupt your monologue and cinematic, so if you've got more stuff to do, keep going.
Yeah, well, just give me 1 second, then you can give Mick the note.
You got it. Keep going.
I am giving you a choice. I am giving all of you an out. We end everything here. Start anew, and you can build it all as it was. You can build your lives exactly how you want them to be. A true prince, a mother who never left her daughter, a son born flesh, not from wood, and a knight actually of honor, not a traitor, and of course a huntsman loved by a queen who has no ambition of murdering an innocent whatsoever.
What a low bar.
But of course, if you wish to challenge me at becoming king of this new world, then you're more than welcome to challenge me for it. As he snaps his hands, and you hear the wings beating of a dragon up in the sky, and he looks over to Philip and goes, now what sort of textual evidence do you think you have?
Well, see for yourself. I took this right out of one of the spell books from the Stone Library. Here, and I walk 5 feet closer to him and hand him a slip of paper that says, "You didn't think it would be that easy, did you?" And the second he looks at the paper, clang, clang.
Let's fucking go!
He laughs, pushes you back.
I fire an arrow as soon as I hear clang, clang.
Are you sure you don't want to leap on him?
I'm close enough. I could leap. I want to do a mighty leap.
Ki-yaw.
Use my spider legs. Ki-yaw.
All right, do a mighty leap.
All right, so it'll be a 17 plus 7 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Yes. Okay, so because of my black leather armor, the first turn treats enemies as surprise. Because I have assassinate, any hit you score against a surprise creature counts as critical. And because plunging attack with a melee hit within 15 feet and being hidden, I spend 3 position and we'll do double sneak attack. So double sneak attack.
Oh, God.
And it's a critical.
Oh, God.
So I think that would be double double.
So that would be 10d6 for the double sneak attack. Plus 2, so that would be 12d6, and then double that because of the crit. So that would be 24d6 damage.
Jesus.
Kill him one shot this fucker.
I don't think this will kill him, but...
No, but it's a banger of a start.
Also, we're gonna have a fucking dragon on us. Like...
Oh my god!
Oh yeah! My
damn!
God. Not if we kill Mick first!
So the spider is gonna leap from this chasm with her sword and, like a spear being thrown through the air, is going to stab up into Mick many names for a total of 92 damage.
Jesus Christ. As your sword connects and it drives into him, Mick screams and he instinctively grabs you and yells, "So that's why Cinderella had you be her assassin. This is the only sneak attack you're ever gonna get, you little bitch." And he throws you back.
Whee! Worth it.
And he walks back facing you, but as he moves, he starts to morph. He morphs and grows ever taller. And as he's growing, he looks up at all of you, especially at Mordred, and says, "You know, there were a few names I did like. There were a few names I enjoyed. But I want to become king of this new world. And when I do, I think I'd rather be nameless." And the dragon descends. And as the dragon lands, he looks over and goes, "Maleficent, my second in command, let us take out the trash and plunge this world to darkness for good." Roll for initiative.
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the curse. The sound of battle cries, blood red dirt and crimson skies. The kingdom is pleading for its hero. Will you be the one to rise?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark Souls, created and hosted by Ben Magnet, with artwork by Jordan Nelson and editing by myself, Danger Dan Jurs. If you want to join the ranks of patrons like Adenine, CJ, HarleyQ135, Pyropat, and Tony LeRae, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can also help us out by spreading the word to your friends and family or leaving us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. Our cast was Aaron Coffold as the Huntsman, myself, Danger Dan Jurs, as the Pauper, Grayson Norman as Sir Mordred the Knight, Daniel Cruz as Pinocchio,
the Real Boy, and Jordan Nelson as the Spider. Our theme song and outro were created by Nicole Carino. Additional music was provided by Monument Studios. Keep an ear out for more content from us and follow our socials at @dndark_podcast for info about more of our upcoming projects. Good King, slain by traitor's hand. Wanted not, but peace throughout the land. War is fought. Why doth we know? It is for king, and traitor told us so. You're right, Jordan. Let me take that again. Good king slain by traitor's hand. Wanted not, but peace through the land. War is fought. Why doth we know? Woo! It's for king, and traitor told us so.
Woo!
The meter doesn't quite work.
It's okay. It was fun.
Not what I was going for, but okay.
Hello and welcome to Super Stryford Regency Rangers, a comedy action adventure loosely based on Sentai and Sensibility by 9th Level Games and starring some of Stratford's most colorful creatures.
You may call me Adrian Alucard Depeche. If you know what my father did, it could be bad.
Looking matronly with her face hidden behind a fan stands the Kuchisake Ona. Doesn't everyone think she's beautiful?
My name is Sir Gordon Topham Hatt. Pleasure to meet you. I like to make stuff go boom.
My name is Richard Milo Renfield.
He's back.
Yay!
He's just still like that. Oh, God.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play Frederick the Loafer.
My God, is this the dude that was like... in that one episode of Dean Dark?
It is the deepest cut of inside jokes that could be made.
Are you, married, miss?
I am not married.
Kuchisake leans immediately to the group, just pulls a quick huddle. We need to get this trollop out of this fucking town.
We go fight?
I meet you at dawn tomorrow morning.
It's... date.
I hope to find love like that someday.
She says that I hit her. I did not hit her. It's not bullshit. I did not. And as you're walking, he just keeps following you.
Oh, God. I believe I have made an unfortunate ally.
On his hips are two pistols. On his back are two rifles. And on his chest, a triple barrel shotgun.
Oh, my God.
I will destroy all of you and destroy this town.
D&D Dark presents Super Stratford Regency Rangers, premiering Wednesday, May 27th, only on patreon.com/dnddarkpodcast.